those who are at work, but you want to have something to say, you can text. This is a text line only, folks, as I've had people trying to call me from this line, but it's a text line only, 422-4796. Now, I'll be repeating those numbers to you again shortly. For those people who are interested in keeping Remark at the forefront as your favorite talk show on the weekend, you may want to give a personal sponsorship, or you may want to help assist with the cost of Remark. I just want to throw those numbers out to you today. I'll throw these out again midway through the show at 302-2375. And the person is April Moss. Or you can contact Janet Lees at 302-2309. I will throw those numbers out again in about 5 minutes. In the studio today, I have 2 out of 3 men here. I have another one on his way. We were expecting Papa here today, but Papa, if you're listening, you did ask me to allow you to use the telephone and call in. For those people who don't know Papa, Papa is challenged in terms of sight. He is blind, legally blind. He's blind. But he sees more than the average man sees. He is visionary. He's intelligent. And Papa will be glad to have you call in today and listen to your remark. Then we have Senator Reuben Ramming, who's on his way. The senator probably had a good lunch today, and he said he's on his way from his home. Muff Rowe is not able to make it today due to transportation issues, and as well as Muff is a sports fanatic. I'm going to call you a fanatic, Muff Rowe. You can fight me if you want, but he's watching football. He asked to come on next week. And, of course, me being a spiteful behemoth, I said, absolutely not. If you can't make it this week, I don't want you at all. Am I being cruel today? Tell me if I'm being cruel. But listen, man, we're going to have ourselves a great show today. And I'm going to allow, first of all, because Darvin Russell has been here with me before, I'm going to allow the Bishop Kermit Agaro to introduce himself. He is in studio. He's dressed in fine, fine apparel. You know, when the Bible talks about that royal apparel, we got a clean shave. Bishop Kermit Agaro, you want to greet the Bahamian people?
Privilege and honor, privilege and honor. I want to say to each and every one of you, all the Bahamian people out there, the Commonwealth of Bahamas, Bishop Kermit Agaro, I love you, and I'm praying for the nation every single day and every morning I get up. It's a battle that I pray. I pray prosperity. I pray good life. I pray long life. I pray health. I pray that this Commonwealth of the Bahamas will rise up to the occasion and take a stand and fight the good fight, that we all Bahamians will live with love and harmony and the greatness, and to enjoy the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the beautiful islands and the seas and the natural resources will be belongs to us. And I just want to say thank you, Bahamians. For me, even I thank God that I bond in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas in Fresh Creek, Andros, an Androsian, grew up in Lovell. So I call myself an Androsian, a poor black boy, grew up in Andros. And I just want to say thank you so much, God, for giving me, for being so privileged, allowing me to be privileged and honored to born in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And I just want to say thank you, God, for having me here on this broadcast. Thank you so much. God bless everyone.
Your bishop really smooth, you know. You always talk about poor and black, like they were orphan attire. They ain't no orphan, you know, money today. You know, Russell got some Andrew's blood in him too. I got some Andrew's blood in me.
Lord.
You don't hear none of us come on the show talking about we poor and we black and barefoot. No, man, we've been to Andrew's. You been to Andrew's before, Russell?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Tell me, yes. Any part of Andrew's broke? The amount of crab you see walking. Listen to me. You never, if you're listening in, all of Renee Dorset, Musington in Atlanta, Georgia, all of my other friends abroad. Listen, if you've ever been to Andrus, mm-hmm. when you talk about crab, mm-hmm. my God, how much one crab costs Gara right now? One crab.
One crab is about $5. Wow. $5.
And when you take it to Freeport, how much that cost?
Oh, man, you're looking at maybe
$10?
$6, $7, or $8.
Okay.
Per crab.
Now, when you buy crab, you buy You buy a dozen crab at a time.
One dozen.
And you're talking with poor black people in Andrews, and you got all that crab, all that money walking on the ground. Which part of y'all in Loveville was ever poor and black, boss?
Well, we grew up in such a way.
We ain't listening to you no more. instead of just walking the road, Garvin Russell, you talk. We ain't listening to no preacher talking about nonsense or something. This is a rich country. We got crab on the ground. That means there's money on the ground. Go ahead, Dr. Russell.
Man, look, after an introduction like that, I gotta bow to the bishop. So,
you going to pay him some money?
You know, it is Sunday.
You know, Ruben is a pastor too. He can get jealous.
Oh, okay.
you got to get a senator some money too.
Well, Darvin Russell here. Great to be here again with you, my friend Garth. For those of you that don't know, I'm an entrepreneur. And I've a former college professor. I've been around for a little while in this thing called politics and this thing called life. So it's just a pleasure to be here to have some more interesting discourse tonight with my panel of guests. And it's interesting, a fun fact. The two men that got me into the bee business are in the room at the same time. Ruben is looking at me, and I'm not even sure he remembers. Yeah.
He's a queen bee.
He sold me my.
I'll be the groom.
I'm moving in silence. I'm moving in silence while I answer.
No, we ain't gonna let you do that.
Everybody's happy about that. Go ahead.
So Ruben sold me, and the Hive did well for me for a long time. Awesome. And Garth taught me most of what I know about beekeeping.
And so how to run from bees, too.
And how to run from bees, too. Yeah. Right. So it's good to be here.
Thank you again, man. Most people have fallen in love with Mr. Russell. They've called me. They said, listen, man, I be love Darvin Russell. And I'm just privileged for him to be my friend. And I'll be looking for great things to come him in the upcoming months and years. But he is a person that has made, as a matter of fact, all the people here today actually make community contributions. I've not brought anyone here that has not sacrificed for Bahamians in a large way. I'm not talking about just in a menial way. You don't go in the forefront on the front pages of papers and say, listen, this is what I've done. Only Ruben, the woman, say, give her dirt to eat. Remember that one there? But Ruben was doing so much for Pinewood. He was a former member of parliament for Pinewood. I saw Ruben teaching archery and other stuff in the park. I've seen him doing a lot of activities in the park, a lot of sacrificial time he spent, not only himself, but his wife. And I think his daughter and his son also joined in the effort. But it's a privilege to also have Senator Ruben Ramming in the House, Minister of the Gospel as well. So I kind of feel holy today. But go ahead, Bishop. Go ahead, Elder.
Yeah, I've been a Minister of the Gospel for mostly over 30-something years.
But yeah.
My faith has always guided me and lead me. I think your statement with the woman saying, but there is this because of my faith. I don't put on show everything I do.
That's correct.
I know the first thing my people said to me when they reached out, they said, Mr. Ramming, you know we get photos and footage and everything of how many times we provided supplies and come to this office.
Of course.
I say, y'all know I didn't like that. I may keep my stuff for record.
Yes.
But I don't give up my reward for temporary things.
That's correct.
Because I know that when you do good and it is not recognized, it is compounded in heaven.
Yes, sir.
And so I live according to my Christian lineage, and I don't really.
But you did some extraordinary things, Rami. You did some fishing with the children. You did some camping events with children.
God, I don't even think as close as you and I are. You know, half. I created 15 organizations in my community,
servicing. You did some agricultural work. I saw that too.
If the prime minister then hadn't snapped the election, they would have been in the ground in September to start the first phase of the remediation process for the water flooding and so on and so forth. If the election hadn't been called, I was in Freeport in August tracking down the air compressor and the equipment to blow out wells. I found a fellow who had excellent equipment where he was going out of business. It would cost about $28,000. I say, okay, that's good. The next installment for my constituency allowance would have been in September. I will send that full amount to you, get the equipment, because there was a company I was building, more like Angela's, called Pinewood in Unison.
Mm-hmm.
And I told all the guys who are hanging on the block, I don't believe in just creating a socialistic society. I say, you're a sheetrock guy, you're a mason, you're a contractor. I said, we'll form a company. You all use it, I won't be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And where all of you could come together and eventually compete with Moscow. So we would have bought the equipment. And we would have vested it into that community-based company, which would have had a community-based board, because that's community money, period. So everybody have a share in that, but then the one who work out or whatever else. And I said, not only would we have the equipment to maintain our own wells, you would compete for government contracts for cleaning out wells in other areas because you have the equipment too, just like anybody else. Mm-hmm. And then still the government still have to pay for pinewood drilling. They'll pay you all for that. But when emergency comes and thing comes, you could keep your well at a marketed level. Then eventually expand, you get trucks, so on and so forth. We had things for people with disability, various different sports, all the guiding. We even had a beekeeping club. The young children was involved in it. Archer has been competing, I think, right by now around the world. Mm-hmm. We had plans in place for the park in the back would have been adopted by the people in Bahama. We had an entity in the United States that wanted to come to develop it into a professional baseball field. Forgive me if I forget the young man who coached and mentored Jazz Chisholm. Mm-hmm. We were going to deal with that. The agreement was already in place. Now, they wanted it. I said, no. This community, you know what in here. We'd have stakes. We already put in plans for how the community would be able to have concessions in it. Don Knowles was committed to help with the tennis program, and we would have set up a after-school program on that so the children could come straight there, do their stuff, do that. We had started talks at the 17 Golf Club to deal with that in putting and across the board in multi-sports. And so that would come back into the community. We started the digital platform, and that was a digital platform where every skill could be listed like an Angelus. So you can be a freelance anything. You could be retired and you're good at writing business plans. People type in someone to write business plan, you pop up, boom. It's almost like Elance. Mm-hmm. And you pay into the platform, and the platform is a buffer between you and the customer for quality service, and you get rated. Mm-hmm. So no longer would the women come and the guy say he's going to go ahead and do some work in the house, and then he leave shoddy work. He might have gotten his first half, but you'll get in the second half till you get a final approval that you did the work properly, and you get rated stars that can increase what you can charge and boost your thing. That was done all that time. It's just more things than I could even imagine across the board.
And you still maintain friendships with people like myself and Darwin and community ties, church work, etc.
You and Russell and you guys, you're the salted earth. No, you're the salted earth. You know. And I get careful of people who think they're gold because I tell them straight and plain, I am dirt. Because when God wanted to put the most precious thing he has, which is himself, into something, he stooped down and he dug into the dirt. And then he put treasure in earthen vessels. Then he turned around and say, now, when you need some gold, it over there in the River Euphrates, and the gold is good, and some diamonds over there. But see, we devalue ourselves by valuing ourselves on things that man assess as valuable. Because now you see, they don't like life. And you learned that from the last U.S. election. The whole election from the Democrat was all murdering babies. So we don't value life.
Wow.
Murdering migrants, because you are inducing them to do something that put themselves in harm's way to get to the United States, whereas they could have their more safer way for them to be properly aligned with and becoming a part of the American society, but would cause less women to be raped, people dying across the border, drug cartels getting involved, you know, and it's about life. Mm. You know, it's about life. But that's a drop in the bucket. But
boy, I tell you, your life is full out. I'll tell you, yeah. I went fishing one day and I came in on the boat, and I know where Reuben lives. Like I said, we're close.
Yeah.
You know, he got two of my favorite trees in his front yard. So you know, he and I be close.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have given those trees to just anybody. Mm. They are very expensive trees, but he's my friend. Mm. And we had a discussion about boatmen and the noise in the neighborhood and tracking back and forth. And so when I came in on the boat, the owner of the boat said to me, "Garth, this senator here, he is an angel." So to me, I was like, how is that possible when I know that initially it was too much traffic, it was too much of an issue, people had questions, people had concerns. He said, this man would take his Jeep and the senator plate on it and help you pull your boat out the water. He said, this man goes to the depths and the ends of the earth to help the people coming. And so this is the type of heart that Reuben has. So when he says that he is spiritually directed, self is taken out of the picture. His family... even though he loves them, he envelops them, he protects them. Reuben Rami, you've truly displayed that you're a man of the people. Mm. And I just want to say on behalf of the Bahamian people, thank you. Because people don't really know the half of what you've contributed or what you have done. Mm. So today I want to welcome you all to Remark. You men's resumes can go on into eternity because of the type of work that you do. I will say this while I'm sitting here, not even knowing Bishop Kermit Agaro. I went to his house one day and he said, "You want a BMW?" And I said, "What?" He said, "You want a BMW?" He said, "Take this blue one right here." I put the key in. I started the car and I drove it home. I said, "What in the world is this? A man gave me a whole BMW car?" And that was a 320i. And then I come back and he gives me a Mercedes, a two-door SLK. And he just recently gave me a little Jaguar car. Mm-hmm. So this is a type of ministry that he has, too, in assisting people to just enjoy some of the finer things of life. He's very sacrificial as well. Yes, and of course, you're the same. So I'm in a room full of people who are sacrificial, who are full of love. And this is why you're here today, because we have to now break down this behemoth political thing in an honest way. I know you men are not afraid of any repercussion, any fight back. Don't care how big and bad you feel that you are. You men have lived full lives, and you have nothing to hide. And so welcome to Remark. I want to throw out the numbers once again before we get into this hot discussion today. Please write the numbers down. People say don't call the numbers often enough. They want to call in. The numbers are, let's go. Are you ready? 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4... Anywhere from the family of violence, 300-5720. Or you can text at 422-4796. I'll throw the numbers for those who would like to sponsor, be a part of our programming a little later on into the show. Gentlemen, after the U.S. elections, everyone in the Bahamas seems to be a Trump fan all of a sudden. And then there are those, of course, in the minority who are saying, well, you know, I'm still Harris and, you know, I think that she should have won. But I want to zoom away from the U.S. elections, and I want to bring the discussion home here to the Bahamas. Amazingly, after that election, there seems to have been a political shift in the country. It seems as if people now brought a magnifying glass as to inspect the performance of the present government and say, you know what, are we satisfied? Are we not satisfied? Do we find yet another? I think that's a scripture in the Bible somewhere, you know. If we even got you, we got to find another. So what I want to do today, I want to sit as Pontius Pilate, if I may. I want to make sure my hands are clean. But I want to allow you men to really discuss with me the present situation of politics in our country in terms of the government's performance. The critical information that may be the reason why the talk, and I mean the talk is everywhere. I went into the food store this morning and someone said to me, "My God, Garth." And everybody's calling Garth's name. Garth! 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 We need this change. And I'm like, what in the world has gotten into these people? And if we change, where are we intending to go? And so I'm going to allow Bishop Kermit Agaro, your man that you reside in the inner city from time to time, your man that you've lived in the high places of this country right outside of Lightfoot's Key Gate, but you've chosen at this time to go into the inner city. What are you hearing on the ground right now in terms of politics, in terms of we now have a progressive liberal party government, and what are the people in the inner city as you walk the streets? So I see you walking all the time. What are they saying on the streets?
Well, you know, just want to give my respect to Ruben as well. Good man. He did one or two things to me. Like you said, you don't want to call that out. But in terms of the new government in place, like you said, I lived in the South Ocean area and decided to, my church is in the ghetto, entrenched in the ghetto. From what I've seen for the last few years of the new administration has taken place is Somalia.
Somalia.
And I could say hungry, bloodthirsty people. Nothing is set in place for young people. Young ladies are on the street. Just giving themselves away for 50 and just to make ends meet and to make living. Poverty is it's ridiculous. Sometimes I come in the community and have, you know, service, and the tithes and offering has to go back out because they're coming in and saying, listen, they need $5, they need $10, they need, and these are prominent people who resort down to this. Sometimes I have to go into their houses and, you know, sometimes I think that, I say, well, you're not telling the truth, and I go into their homes and I, my God, you know, and I just want to speak for the constituency I in. I think the gentleman's name is Jimbo or whatever his name is.
Jimbo Campbell.
Okay. Man, disgrace.
Is that a personal remark or is that something you're hearing on the street?
That's something I'm hearing on the street.
You're hearing that on the street? It's not something coming from your heart?
Not me. You know,
so the people are saying it's a disgrace? Yeah. What are they saying it's disgraceful?
They didn't see it. They don't see him. He don't implement nothing. He don't come to the community.
You're hitting my pulpit, though. Stop hitting my pulpit.
Yeah, you know, I'm a preacher.
Yeah, you're a preacher. Put your hand in your
pocket. Getting in the rhythm.
Yeah, so.
But go ahead.
I spoke to him before. I like the guy. It's not that I'm lashing out at him. I just say that there's no program to implement for young people in the community. There's nothing happening. They have that big school there. They know, you know, you have a lot of people there having reading of disabilities and stuff, and you know, people resort to violence. Just the other day, I was counseling a gentleman, and you know, the counseling it can't wait no more. You really have to find some resources or some way to be able to handle the situation. That's why the crime rate is so high. The guy just left from me, and the other day he just shot, you know, this guy in the head. But this guy of
violence.
It's just the violence resorts to the next level.
So you're painting to us a gruesome picture. What I want you to do, and not because Reuben is taller than we are and stronger than we are, but I want you to compare what he introduced himself as doing in his community. How would that now fit into your community? Is there a fit for that? A different type society, a different type echelon? What are we looking at?
Well, in terms of...
Because you spoke about programs.
And maybe talk about programs in terms of some things that Reuben said in terms of his beekeeping program. And I believe that anything that is positive to keep people busy from just loafing and handling less free time, ain't doing nothing, just smoking cigarette and hanging in the front of the Chinese and just drinking Hennessy. There's no future. There's nothing implementing to... You know, and then you got the Seventh-day Adventists and the Jehovah's Witness trying with the Bible, people running them, because they're running them because they come in with, you know, condemning them for what they're doing. But you don't understand is that that's their life, and what I would love for a government to come in and do is try to shift that in a different direction where you can allow regular behemoths to become tractors. You have BTVI there, and it's so difficult. Again, BTVI, design something where a young person could come on hands-on and, you know, teach them how to build walls so that when you have housing project, they are the ones who will come and build the walls. Teach them how to build garbage bins, concrete garbage bins, so that they can have, when the housing project comes, they can be able to build the garbage bin. You can design a company out of it. And so they just loafing and just, you know, and getting heated, at the moment getting heated, and all you hear shots fired, and the police is only coming after the fact, and you could get the bulletproof vest as much as you want, and the amount of cars as much as you want, you could get the amount of vehicles as much as you want. The guys them know how to duck police. The guys them know how to take the shortcuts. They know everything. So what you have to do is you have to get in there, you understand? Get in there, design some, bring maybe some social service persons to come in there. And meet them as they need, you know what I mean? So and the only thing they're doing is just having kids and the struggle is just getting harder and tougher and tougher and tougher and tougher. And it's not getting any better. And they're crying out for love.
So being immersed, before I go to the other people here, being immersed in ministry and rubbing shoulders with other pastors and other constituencies, are you elsewhere?
Well, I have other pastors who, you know, say the same thing. You know, they can't even walk out there. So they jump in their car. They, you know, people taxing them. You know, one time ago, it used to be people bringing the money into the house, and you know what I mean. But now they telling the pastors, you know, they got to take gas. And so the MPs, they will come at the end of the 5 years and get all the glory, and then we're there catching all the hell. Because they're coming to us and saying, hey, we need. The other day, I implement a program called a meat box. You see the people come in.
Use the Newfields Market.
Yeah.
You do a meat box.
You have to do something because, you know, when God touches you and you come, you have an outreach ministry, you know, you have to do what you have to do. You just can't say, all right, again, I'm going to the government. It's so difficult to see the prime minister or any prime minister. It's difficult. And if you're not politically linked to them, you're wasting your time. So the best thing you do is go on your knees and pray and say, listen, God, and then some good Samaritan pass by and, you know, and drop off meat or drop off stuff. And you'll say, but hey, listen, let's get this done. And then we'll develop it. And sometimes like on first Saturdays in the month, I do like chicken souts. And people come and, you know, they enjoy themselves, you know. But I don't feel if, you know, if you can spend $9 million on a carnival with people walking up and down on trucks, shaking up and whining themselves and showing their private parts, that same $9 million could go to do some programs, man, to help people, man.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And so we got to stop playing and stop faking and just get real and help our people. Because if you don't help our people, shown directly, you know, the Bahamas is going to be like Jamaica, where you have to have 20 and 30 bodyguards carrying an MP to the House Assembly.
Wow.
You know, and so we just got to stop playing and just do what we have to do.
You are a man, you understand both politics and religion.
Yeah.
To my right, we have Darvin Russell, and he has immersed himself into a political life. He had a secret as well. I didn't know. And we were speaking one time about politics, and he said, God, do you know that I ran in Golden Isles? And I said, ran in Golden Isles? You? He said, yes. I ran a one-man team through Golden Isles. I knocked on every door, every track, road. I visited every home I possibly could. He said, Garth, it's a lot of work, but I was dedicated. I believe that his dedication is still intact. I'm not going to speak about his present or future aspirations politically. But I want Darvin to assess for us right now the political climate as he now sees it.
That's a tough act to follow. Bishop spoke about some very sobering things that even I was unaware of, the level of challenge that he's facing in the community where he pastors. So certainly my heart goes out to those members in his community and the challenges that so many Bahamians are facing. But let me start by saying this. I think that the same issues that plagued us 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, still plague us today, which is unfortunate. And the four that I listed were crime, immigration, education, and we continue to break records on the rate of murders in this country, unabated. Mm. We continue to not be able to address the significant issue of illegal immigration in this country without any foreseeable, reasonable, practical, pragmatic way in which to resolve
right
this.
Now.
Mm-hmm. Right now.
Wow.
Notwithstanding, I must give the Prime Minister at least credit for his dealing with the shanty towns, at least his attempt to do so. The third issue is education. We do not seem to have caught up from the 2 years lost from COVID. I do not see a cogent strategy on education. I think we have to recognize that the way the world is going is our educational system no longer serves the country, and it no longer serves the children that participate in it.
Wow, who does it serve?
I don't know who it serves. They are coming out unskilled. These are people that I hire in my businesses, and I can tell you that it is a challenge dealing with some of them. But there is lots of work to do in the education space, and then finally, the economy. So one of the things that is... and the Deputy Prime Minister, famous for doing, is talking about these record-breaking tourism numbers. We have been on...
Ruben smiled. Ruben is like, I can't wait to get a piece of that, but go ahead.
So we have been on this upward trajectory in tourism for quite some time. I don't think there's any Minister of Tourism that can take credit for it. The Bahamas is an attractive destination. It has always been. The numbers do what the numbers do.
Mm-hmm.
However, what you do require is a bit of imagination and creativity in translating those numbers into meaningful jobs, ownership opportunities for Bahamians. And that has not materialized. It has materialized in pockets, and that is something that has to change. You cannot have 8, 9, 10 million visitors that come to a country with 400,000 citizens and still the masses are suffering who are in that industry. That's incongruent to me.
I like that thought.
I think there's a lot to unpack, a lot to discuss. And I think that the next iteration of politicians has to be more imaginative. I spoke about the fact that he was not casting dispersions at the member of parliament specifically, but just saying that the needs of your community are greater. And they may be greater than the resources that he individually has. That's another thing that Ruben probably can speak to personally. If you're giving me $48,000 and whatever the constituency allowance is now, as a $48,000 as a salary, $100,000 plus as a constituency allowance, and you're talking about the average constituency in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas of 5,000, at least in Nassau proper, of 5,000 voters, probably 7,500 residents in each of these communities, that money goes nowhere. Mm. I mean, that's nowhere. That's $10, that's $20 a person. Mm-hmm. That's one lunch, one year, for 365 days. Mm-hmm. So obviously, those allowances, and even if the member of parliament donated his entire salary,
which we have,
it's a drop in the bucket against the need.
Uh-huh.
This is why central government has the greater responsibility, because you have the $2 billion purse.
Mm-hmm.
You have the tax dollars that the Bahamian people have put in your care to manage properly. So the study of economics says, how do you allocate limited resources against unlimited wants and needs? That's the basic practice of economics. So we place you in power to allocate those resources most efficiently. Mm-hmm. So when your return on your investment is negative, you have harmed me.
Yes.
You have made it worse off. And Bishop says, mm-hmm, the $9 million on Carnival was a harmful investment.
Mm.
The prime minister's, whatever his multi-million dollar travel budget is, that is a harmful investment.
And went up 70%.
Right. So you have to say to us, are we getting our money's worth out of $200, $300 million in healthcare? I would argue we are not.
Mm-hmm.
The hospital is something we should all be ashamed of.
The hospital. I want to have a show just on that.
Okay.
A public
there
health
is no
system.
Way. There is no way in 2024 Princess Margaret Hospital should be our national hospital. There is no way, after 53 years,
mm-hmm,
that is the best we could do for our people.
We've not even tried to
build it. There's no excuses for it. So if you're talking about making the decision, this is where governments matter, making the decision between a road and a hospital, between an airport and a hospital, between infrastructure of cabling, water, electricity, and a hospital. These are those tough decisions to make. But in all the other categories, we have invested handsomely.
Mm-hmm.
Why has the hospital been placed on the back burner? Mr. Ingram, to his credit, did a redevelopment, or at least a portion of a renovation. Dr. Darvill and Minister Mr. Davis are saying, Prime Minister Davis are saying, they're going to do a satellite location.
They're going to.
Which is fine.
They're going to.
That's what they're saying.
They're going to. Okay.
My position is, you don't need a fraction of a hospital. You need a new hospital.
Yes.
Princess Margaret, if you're going to commit to it, build a real hospital and implode the one that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Don't renovate it. It's not fit for renovation. Just blow it up. It's done. Right? So my around the table today, there are more than enough brilliant minds in this country, even mm-hmm, Bahamians living abroad. These are not problems that cannot be solved. These are solvable problems. And I just think, and I'm hopeful, that next go round, we have a bit more imagination in the political space. So I'll leave it there and let Ruben have his.
That was profound. Senator Remming,
mm-hmm,
you are the one in this room who've actually been in the inside. All of us sitting in this room have actually participated in frontline politics in some which way, form, or another. You've actually made it inside. How easy is it to impact change when you are a member of parliament, a politician? If I recall, before you got there, I heard a story about one MP who gave food to everybody, and everybody was drinking rich soda, but the MP was drinking a Coca-Cola. And I may attribute it to her losing her seat. Is it that simple and silly, or does it take more to lose a seat, or is it just a cultural thing to lose a seat every 5 years so people are prepared for change? How difficult is it for a man only to complete his task or his vision in terms of
the nature of us as a Bahamian people. Are we just simply ungrateful? Talk to me.
Ungrateful? We are what we are. And quite frankly, the politicians are sons and daughters of we. And their character comes from we houses, mm-hmm. period. And then the politicians are reaping the whirlwind from their own actions and their own false modesty. First of all, they should demand a proper pay in the first instance. And I agree with the recall system. I shouldn't be willy-nilly. But I say this about the people long before politics. The Bible says, "Muzzle not the ox to trail the corn." You can demand above and beyond from the felon if he bite one apple, then you call him a crook and a criminal or whatever else. Doesn't make it right or wrong, but it makes you a co-conspirator of it. The same way everyone has been pushing for, and virtually everybody has gotten hundreds of different levels of increase. And then the permanent secretary is on the level of a member of parliament. Now the permanent secretary is up to 90 to 100 plus thousand, some of them, now just got additional living accommodation, raises, et cetera, et cetera. And the member of parliament being stagnated at $28,000. Mm-hmm. And yes, you pay for your own insurance and you pay for your own pension. So when they say, oh, 2 terms in pension, they don't know. You pay for that. That's contributory. All right. Wow. And the senators make minimum wage.
Yeah, I know that for sure.
And so, you know, in our business, just even one of us, what we can make in a day sitting in there, you at a loss.
Yeah. Sacrifice again.
They wouldn't even offer senators business cards or an ID.
What?
You know, and it's false modesty. I remember one time ago, I remember the politician who said it was on the other side. Oh, people's going through hard times, so they say they decided to let MP, cabinet ministers pay for their own gas. I say, and people take that foolishness as, oh, they cutting back. Well, listen there, the fella in water and sewage and everybody else driving up and down the government car doing that was, and the problem we have is that, very frankly, most people don't care. On their job, they want to get paid for their job description. Mm-hmm. But when you come in politics, they want you to be everything. Let me give an example. When you vote for an MP, his job is to represent you in the House of Assembly. Your commitment is to meet with him in the most efficient way. There mm-hmm. are private concerns, mm-hmm. and there are collective meetings. Do you know what I was implying when I started numbering them? I think I was up to 40 and 39. I would have the community meetings, and that's under the F&M flag, mm-hmm. and then I'll have community meetings. I deliberately do that. So you have no excuse to come, whatever. No, I have branch association meetings, because, mm-hmm. you know, every month. Then I have community meetings. Mm-hmm. And I run them separately. And you could have seen. So literally, I was doing 2 meetings a month. Mm-hmm. So you don't get no excuse. If you think there's a problem with a banner, it's just community. Community, you know, because all the white. But I did that deliberately, just mm-hmm. deliberately, so that there's no excuse. Then you have persons, like I said, don't understand, appreciate the job description, and they try to lead you into problems. So your job is to really represent, but actually get to the point that, and this is all around the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the things that they require you to do, you won't have no time to do what you're supposed to do in the first place. Your salary is not really your own. Do you know MPs themselves, they got to use their own car and their own gas. All they give you is a plate to put on it. Mm. Like you said, but it's Senator Jeep, that's my Jeep.
Yeah, I know that.
You know, on the plate is only basically good, meaning, you know, if you park someplace, like, you know, get to Parliament, you could park and, you know, stuff like that.
So the MP plate, you pay for the gas for that particular car?
No, you put the MP plate on your car.
Yeah.
And you your car.
And you pay the gas for that?
It's your car. Everything else. All you're doing is carrying the plate.
Mm.
All right? So it doesn't matter when it comes down to the functions. But I think most importantly, people don't rate you on the quality of your representation in the House of Assembly. That's your job. It's your job to work the system to make sure your people get their share. And then you can see tangible benefits. It was said, rightly so, even with the community allowances, that it is pittance. And I was glad you did, Mr. Russell, the calculations, because when I did it, you did it at this rate. Mm-hmm. When I did it at my rate, it's like $5 right, a person. Right. And then what happens is persons don't even understand that under the law. See, my thing was, I come in here with my integrity, I leave it with it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and I remember I stood up into the House Assembly when we were having the, for 3 years I worked with Water and Sewage to try to get up a program for Pinewood to remediate this flooding. I thought it was such an insult that it's going on so long, whereas we've seen Brave Davis, when he wanted to, they pumped $30 million into where the old Bahamas Academy school was.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
And didn't even have a lease agreement. Mm-hmm. Didn't even have an agreement. Remember when he stood up in the House Assembly and he called it BS? Mm-hmm. And then he got sock with it in the House Assembly? Mm-hmm. You could waste that kind of money. Mm-hmm. But you mean to tell me over 20, 30 years, right, y'all couldn't fix this problem in Pinewood? Mm-hmm. If y'all been putting in $2 million a year and keep going, it would have been solved. And we know there's political hands in that situation with the purchase of land and everything. It's about representation. And I told the water and sewage guys, they say, oh, this doesn't cost too much. I told them, straight face, listen here, bro. I say, it's your job to find a solution that you know could pass your engineering muster. It's my job to fight for the money. Let's not talk with money. That ain't your business. Let's find a solution that can work. I say, I'm not trying to make the place dry, you know. If I could stop the water 1 inch from getting in somebody else, that's success for me. We needed to work. We finally found something. And I'm going to tell you the whole truth about it. It is what it is. And in my opinion, it is so. Some cabinet ministers tried to co-op it. Oh, we can do a pilot project at my place. I went and I sat with them. And I said, listen here, what the deal is, man? You know Pinewood ground zero. Well, you know where we can get to Pinewood to get wherever else. I ain't certain. Get up and walk out the room. I ain't certain. See, I can tell you where my cutlass go. and I just did what I had to do. See, all MPs have power. Mm-hmm. It's not what you think, because they're onions. It's like onion layer. Mm-hmm. So you could be an MP and you could still be a nobody. Mm-hmm. Go to cabinet minister, keep all the little thing. Mm-hmm. They do whatever else and got a big. And many times, as you think the brotherhood should be.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? So I didn't mind what you wouldn't do for me if I asked. It's a little border sometimes.
I hope these people
understand. But the thing about it is, I represent Pinewood. Every time I stood up, I rise by the grace of God, dang, and never change, and I rise for the good of Pinewood. That's my job. Mm-hmm. Two things I say. I rise by the grace of God and for the good of Pinewood. And the program is done, and whatever else. So I didn't say that to nobody. I ain't beg nobody no more. I stood up in the House Assembly, and I used the only power I had, which is to go kamikaze. Mm-hmm. You know, it's as simple as that. And so I stood up, and I tell them, listen, straight and plain, if I don't see a line item in the budget for Pinewood to remediate the flood, because the program and I'm there, put the money in the budget. I want to see the money in the budget. Then I support the next budget debate. See, people don't understand what this means. That means in the budget debate, I going out of the party. That means in the budget debate, I vote no, and that's a vote of no confidence. The budget debate is the highest thing.
People don't know these things.
Yeah, but they don't care to know. But whether you know or not, I got to do my job.
Right.
So in other words, at that point, voting no, vote of no confidence, they do things to help you sometimes you get a position here. Because, you know, $20,000 don't do nothing, and you pay that back out to your community. You'd be surprised how much you pay out, all right? Mm. And that was the statement behind that. And I ain't talked to nobody behind the scenes. I ain't talked to nobody with that debt, because, you know, I live Fox Hill and Camp Road to me. That was the end of that. And I didn't find out until the morning of the budget, when they was doing a laying the budget presentation, that Ramming, we got the $2 million in there for the start of the pilot project. And therefore, I said, where's the line item? And I remember talking to my good friend, Chirago. I called the radio station. It's the first time I called the radio station, as I think of. And he said, no, Ramming requested a line item in the budget. And no, there's no such thing like that. And I called him in. I said, no such thing as not. I said, every civil servant has a line item in the budget, because your check is in that budget. It may be under a big lump sum, but you could trace it right back to your name. Because if your name ain't in the budget, you can't get paid. Mm-hmm. I want to see something that I'd allocated, so I know my people get money to deal with. And then they said at the last thing, I said, show it to me. They tell me the line, and I saw it there. And that day, I seconded. And I tell them, I said, listen here, this is how this goes, you know. I said, first of all, there's a burden on the community. You elected me under the banner of the FNM. Mm-hmm. So you elected me to follow the then Minister Administration policies in your interest. Mm-hmm. All right? So don't get upset if I'm following the policies in your interest. Then I turn around, the Prime Minister's right across from where I was standing, and I say, to the party, this is how this go. It's 40% party and it's 60% community. Yeah. Because I'm here on their behalf, and they know they sent me here
to work with you on their behalf. But at the same token, if it don't go that way, this is how the scale do. And I did this right now, assembly, like the scale. You're going to lose. But end of story, because I am the member of Parliament for Pinewood. I am not the F&M member of Parliament for Pinewood. See, that's a subjective thing when we campaign under a banner collectively. You know, it's strength, you get in there. But when you're in the House, they don't say F&M Reuben or PLP Reuben. They say the member for Pinewood. End of story. And we had to make sure these things done. But they don't understand this. And they judge you along things. Let me give you another example with the consumer. Assume that they hear this thing, so they think you get money and you spend it. Well, I done beyond that. You know, talking foolishness, because even in my own businesses, I say, give the money to someone, let them sign it. There's always somebody between me and somebody else with my own money. Mm-hmm. So don't come with that. Give an account for that every month, straight through. Every 3 months, we get allocation. People, I can tell you a quick story. I says quickly, they actually, I had persons come to me, their house get all kind of electrical problems, this and that, and they want to borrow some money from the constituency allowance to come and help that. And they care about it. I said, ma'am, you know that thing is, that the constituency allowance is regulated by an act? And I'm not supposed to be giving you that for scholarship. I'm not supposed to be giving you that for all kind of different type things or feel good, even for frontals, no matter how much it is and so on and so forth. I can't come to it lying and say, oh, I just give $200,000 to a frontal thing and that. The act specify how that money is supposed to be spent. And one thing I learned when MPs on both sides end up to the courtroom, So you can't let people run you up on breaks when you're constrained by law. Mm. And you can't be a lawmaker and a blatant lawbreaker. And that's what we saw with this government, with the procurement acts, where you start to be contractors and everything else. And I said this in the Senate many times. You are constrained to obey the law until you change it. I ain't got a problem. If you don't like it, change it. But until it's changed, you are obligated to obey it. You're sending the wrong signal that just because you have power, you can ignore it. But everybody else got to keep it. Until one day, and you throwing them in the jail, throwing them all over the place, but you're saying, oh, we could disobey it for a couple of years until you change it. And when you change it, you still took time before you start to obey it.
But Reuben Rama, we've seen that you've been a man of principle. You've represented with principle. We saw what the reward was for you to work in such principle. We're looking at politicians now with question marks as to their character, to their ethical code. We have some curiosities at this particular time. We see some former politicians and some present politicians that were paraded before the court system. We're looking at the present state of affairs in our country. Members of Parliament, as you said, you all pay for your gas, you only got to plate this and that. But these fellas are getting fat and rosy. They got muscle when you had muscle before. They got belly when you had belly before. They got sweetheart when they had before. So where are they getting all this money from? All this transparency you just spoke about. We've heard of governments talk about transparency and accountability. It seems to me as if you practice that, but your reward has been to be ousted from Pinewood Gardens. So when we come back, I just want to throw these numbers out again. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or call from the Family of Ireland 300-5720, or text me at 422-4796. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, seems to be some type of social revolution going on here, and we want to just take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
I'll show you contrast when we come back. I think it's
never Station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $30,000 to provide holiday meals to families in need. But we need your help. From November 4th to December 18th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in Nassau, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
This November, the Nassau Guardian is celebrating 180 years. And we want to thank you, our loyal readers, for helping to make this one of the oldest newspapers in the region. We want you to be a part of our Vision Challenge giveaway promotion beginning October 28th through November 22nd. All you need to do is find the hidden Nassau Guardian 180 years logo printed every day in the Nassau Guardian newspaper, and you could win prize money. Just purchase your daily Nassau Guardian newspaper every day beginning Monday, October 28th. Find the 180th Nassau Guardian logo, cut out the page, mark the spot, write your name and phone number on that clipping, drop off your entries at our offices on Carter Street in Oaksfield. And every Friday, November 1st, November 8th, November 15th, and November 22nd, one drawing will take place. It's that simple.
All right, folks, we're back. We're back. As you see, time is slipping away from us. One of our fans said to me, listen, man, just as you're getting hot, the show is finished. And while we were on the break, these gentlemen were going at it. And if you heard the information they want to share with you, gentlemen, I really don't believe that this show has the ability to really contain all that you have to say. Someone said also to me, when you don't see people calling in, it's because they are really listening. And what has happened on this show, we've got an inside view as to really what it's like to be a member of parliament. No one has even really discussed this with us openly before like this. And Senator Ramming, we do appreciate that from you. The numbers to call in if you must be a part of the conversation is 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Islands, 300-5720, or you can text in at 422-4796. If you want to be a sponsor of this program, it's a great program. It's replayed again tonight about 9 o'clock, 9:30 thereabout. You can just go ahead and call April at 302-2375 or call Janet Lees at 302-2309. Now, Bishop Agaro, you aspired to be a member of parliament at one particular point. You heard of the issues that Darvin Russell spoke to. You heard of the inside information that Senator Ramming spoke about. How do you now feel about future aspirations of politics, and how do you now look at those who are now sitting in? Because right now, there seems to be dissatisfaction in the performance of politicians at this particular time.
Well, they say everything is a political game, political strategy, people going down to the wire. When we talk about movement, when you look at that's Nassau Village, that center that needs to be taking place. Mm-hmm. That center could have been built a long time. That center is only going to start to open when you see the political giant, when you see election coming close, then that center is going
you
to be open.
You know Jamal Strong?
Yes.
I'll tell you a backstory on that.
It's a game. My good friend here talk about, there's a good thing that the Prime Minister did, and those who deals with immigration, broke down the houses of the shanty towns. Mm-hmm. But you have to ask the question, did they have any mass shipment out of Haitians out of the country? Did you see any deportations? Any mass shipment out? No. Where did those people went? But I can tell you where they went. They went in apartments. That's why today you can't, Bahamians today can't find themselves apartments. And you have Bahamians talking about, they want to talk about, they want to deal with the immigration issues. But when the people, the non-English people come there with their first license security deposit, you taking it and putting them in. So you have to ask the questions. Are we a part of what's going on? Are we a part of the system that is taking place? Are we want these, do we really want these people out of the country?
No, but you're compounding it now.
That's what I'm saying.
The rent for one bedroom right now is about $900, light and water included. A two bedroom without light and with just water is probably $1,100-$1,200 a month. But two bedroom. Before, you know, they talk about this increase in employment. The employment that's being increased is actually these non-English speaking as the primary language people. They are working, therefore they can afford the first license security.
Of course.
Whereas if you had to pay first license security for a one bedroom, you're looking at $2,000 up front. The average Bahamian doesn't have $2,000 in a bank account. And so right now you're making the whole issue of occupancy in this country
very complicated and complex situation. Complicated.
And many people are now finding themselves homeless.
Homeless.
Now, even me as a landlord, I'd be very honest with you. I got a group of Bahamian people, they just don't like to pay rent. They just don't like to pay rent. But the minute they move out of your apartment, they find out, guess what, there's no place else to go. So they go down to Bernard Road, they go to social services to stay there for 3 months, and they find themselves out on the street. I'm saying to you, we have not seen this much homeless people in the entire history of our country called the Bahamas. This is horrible.
And so when you ask the question, when we talk about this, you see mass Haitians by social service with long line, thousands of them in long line looking for some place.
No.
No, you see Bahamians.
No.
Because these people, they are gathering together. And so the Bahamians today, which is the landlords, they don't care if you're a citizen. They lost in security and you move in. So we're only looking at the money and we are damaging our country. We are damaging we're damaging the policy that the government has put in place.
So let's take that even deeper.
You're going to take it deeper, Mr. Economist? First, before you do that, I got a quick little text here, Mr. Rhyming. It says that, let Mr. Rhyming know this is the gentleman that sit next to him at the funeral. And just texting to sanction that he is truly a great leader and encouraging him to continue his good work in the country. People are watching, people are listening. Go ahead, Mr. Russell.
I just want to say, brother, listen here. I felt more like a king sitting next to you than when I
is
so cool.
Is that a proposition or
no, no, man, he's just so cool.
Yeah.
You know what I talk. He's just so cool, man. Tell him I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Boy, I just wanted to give him a number. But anyway, anybody in Foxhole gave my number.
Producer, leave the number.
Yeah, leave the number.
Take that number for
me.
Just go ahead and leave your number with the producer, and Ruben wants to have a conversation with you. Go ahead, Mr. Russell. My apologies.
No problem. But Bishop, this goes even deeper than what you're talking about. Bahamians allowing illegals to rent their places because they have the money to do so. So this goes to selling your bowl of porridge, selling your birthright for a bowl of porridge.
Mm-hmm.
This starts from corrupt immigration officers.
corrupt
immigration officers. When you go to the roundup and they get their money to turn the blind eye, this goes to illegal work permits being issued. This goes to the complicit nature of a systemically broken immigration system that readily gives a work permit to a Swiss banker in Lyford Key, but makes the gardener, the maid, jump through more hoops and wait in line on Hawkins Hill.
Wow.
Okay? This issue is multifaceted and it's complex. We also have to ask ourselves as Bahamians the question, is it more detrimental to Bahamian society to issue the work permit to the Swiss banker who makes a multitude of thousands of dollars a year, or to the $300 a week gardener? Now, if, and I'm playing devil's advocate, partially, if our Haitian brothers and sisters were not here, how many Bahamians jobs that they come here and do? I would argue not a lot. But I promise you, for every Swiss banker that leaves the country, dozens of Bahamians would desire and be qualified enough to take that job. So,
we have to look at this problem holistically. It's not only happening on the bottom end where we focus most of our issues, our rhetoric, and our conversation. This is also going on at the top level. Foreigners come to this country on visitor visas, and we know they're working. This is replete throughout the system, right? What President Bush, President Trump is about to do now that has everybody nervous is clean up his own broken immigration system that has people traveling to the United States on visitor visas and working. But for them, their system is a little bit more rigid and it doesn't flex as much. Because if you can't get that Social Security number with a right to work, it's hard for you to get any legitimate work in the United States. They don't allow for the shantytown situations to exist. So it's a bit more difficult. We have a subclass of citizenry that lives under the shadow that has to be removed. We have to make a determination that says, look, and many groups of Bahamians have already sat and adjudicated these matters and have said, these are the proposals and recommendations for changes to the Nationality Act or to bring this before the people in the form of a referendum. We know what needs to be done, but no government in the 53 years that we have been a nation, or 51 years that we've been a nation, has said, at the end of the day, this is to do. What is the solution? Are we going to deport? Are we going to say you're no longer and you will not be eligible for citizenship? What are we going to do about this weighty matter? It is a significant issue that needs resolution, not keep kicking the can down the road.
I will say this to you. Watch this. I'll say this to you in moving forward, right? I did a feeding program in my community, right? And I want the Bahamas to listen to this. And if they think this is a joke, here's what's going to happen, okay? And I want to just jump to the conclusion to tell them this and why I'm going to tell them this. One of the reasons why you see no productivity, people traveling, MPs traveling, doing this, doing that, potholes and all this stuff, and they're not doing their job. You know why they're not doing their job? Because they ain't worrying about you. You know why they ain't worrying about you? Because they now establish a 15% voters, new voters, non-speaking English, that when they come, when you go to the polls, they're coming early to the polls. So no matter what you do, they have a few on all voters. Mm-hmm. How are they doing it? Watch this. I did a feeding program and I told them I was only dealing with Bahamians. I've seen Haitians pull out brand new passports. Mm-hmm. Can't speak a bit of English. Mm-hmm. Passport newer than mine. Mm-hmm. And they are filtering through. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, okay, Bishop, show the proof. They just disappear. They just come and disappear. So, and I see with my two eyes about 24 brand new passports. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. And they cannot speak. They can't even ask you for the food that you're issuing out. So what I'm saying to you,
you know why?
You're going to have a 15%, and they're coming to the polls early. And if the people in the Bahamas who are those polls and other whoever doing it, What they need to do is get a dictionary or a phone book from Haiti, because trust me, on that register, you're going to see some names, last name, that you've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, you're going to hear an additional roles that you see in this community. You know, what's this role? You're going to hear additional roles. So they already have a percent jump on the voters, so they don't have to do no work.
Go ahead, yeah, I agree with what you're saying, but on top of that, the human people need to be more aggressive in their votes. Mm-hmm. They need to stop selling their votes for fridge, stoves, and idle promises. They need to look at these promises, manifestos, plans, and everything else and consider it wholesomely. Because at the end of the day, they're going to end up with a carrot and lose their whole farm. Mm-hmm. And so that's the problem we're having with this problem in immigration. And you're correct with these new passports coming out. I have strong reasons to believe it in myself, and it's been demonstrated during the time also at Keith Bell, that there had been a political move to expand the voter base by using the Haitian nationals that are here. And you are on point, even as related to the requirement to have basic understandings of certain things, national history, even the simple symbols, et cetera, et cetera. You find that is non-existent. And then you also understand, Bishop, very, very well, that when you're given something as our passport, which is our most supreme document, which is the key to the nation, which is the entitlement to everything we have. So $5,000, $50,000 ain't nowhere near the value of holding that document, and which also associate their actions attraction to us. So if they go over there and exercise something, does something contrary based upon their former identity, it is attached to us by character. We're not just selling our name. We're not just selling our land. It's our birthright and it's our identity. And quite frankly, tourism is built on our identity. Experience us in the environment that we have. And we are giving that away willy-nilly and sitting there without repentance. And all he do is shuffle some people across the board. And another quick problem is, I'm going to get this quick, quickly, is that with our immigration problem, I'm concerned about it legally, historically. Because I've been hearing quite frankly over and over that Haitian migrants, and there are a lot of other types of migrants, are stateless. When the Constitution of Haiti itself say that does not exist. Wherever you are, you always are. And you can't even rescind that, you know? So somewhere along, some skullduggery has been in there. And you're right. Watch the political board. When our leaders identify with certain ethnic groups outside of their own, and when we make certain promises, I don't think none of us should be making any promises to any foreign nation, because whom drum beat first? You know, and our only response was to be them, yes, we guarantee that we will respond to you and help you according to the law.
Wow.
That's the only response to anyone. I don't care if American, Japanese, Chinese, Haitian, Bermudan, I don't care. Your only response as a leader to gladly accommodate you according to our constitutions and the laws of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Well,
end of story.
Caller, go ahead, caller.
Hi, good evening, God.
Hey, good evening. How you doing, my brother?
Right, how you doing, man?
Good, good, good.
Okay, good evening to your guest in the room. I think you said you were Senator Ramming and Bishop Mr. Russell,
Darwin Russell.
I don't remember the name of the Reverend.
Bishop Kermit Agaro.
Okay, Bishop Garo in the room. Good evening to you all.
Good evening.
Listening to the conversation, pretty interesting discussion. I'm curious about something you just said, Bishop Garo. Do you have any idea how many persons were granted citizenship under the previous administration?
I can't give you a figure at this time. I can't give you a figure. I'm not aware.
Okay, tell me this. Do you have any idea how many persons who were granted Bahamian citizenship under the previous administration, or what percentage played a role in the last election, 2021?
I didn't go into that in depth.
Once they have a passport, they're entitled to vote.
Yeah,
the reason why I'm asking is because I'm listening and
you have any information for us?
Can
for
the people?
I'm not volunteering any information at this point. But I just decided to call in based upon.
Well, that's something that we can research.
That the bishop is taking, and if it appears though, citizenship granting is only happening under the current administration, but I know that's not the case.
No, I think
I didn't say that.
You didn't say it directly, but that's the implication.
Yeah, but don't put it on him if he's here and he didn't say it directly.
The representation, if I may, the representation of what he just stated, if anyone is thinking and have a peanut of a brain, you would wonder if citizenship granting just began under this administration, you would also wonder if the persons who are granted citizenship are just now coming to vote in the 2025 or 2026 national general elections of the Bahamas, which is not the case.
No, that is not the case.
And so I believe if you're having a responsible conversation, one ought to be able to speak historically to what is taking place, and if one can see a drastic spike in the individuals who are granted citizenship under this administration 3 years in versus what took place under the previous administration. If you can see a huge or massive margin increase, then I would say you could have a responsible conversation along the lines that leads to the implications that the bishop is speaking to fear, very unfortunate and misleading, all at the same time.
No.
Thank you for the opportunity, Garth.
Thanks for calling Anton. That's my good friend, Anton. But I understand both sides of the conversation. I don't want to push that much further. But basically what has happened is an observation. Bishop Agaro lived in South Ocean for some time. He was not privy to the on-the-ground movement of such. He's not speaking about what he's seen on television. Yeah. He's simply speaking presently about what he's witnessing presently, right now in his community. He's seeing that hands-on. He's giving out food and hands-on. He's seeing these new passports. Now, we're not saying that has not occurred before. We're not saying that that has not happened before. We all know that we have a history of migratory issues. But right now, it is seeming when a leader of a party states publicly on television that I'm one of you. Of course, I don't know who previously has done that. There may have been another leader who has said, I'm one of you. If you know of that person, tell me. If you don't know that that happened before, say so. But he went out publicly and it circulated that he's one of them. And of course, the Bahamian people are going to become extremely sensitive to such a statement. Moving forward, though, right now we know that the government of the country is now in question. Can anyone speak to that in this room? Anton, I really appreciate your call. I know you always try to be fair and transparent, but I believe we were a bit misguided in that particular situation. But no one is saying that one party over the other has not practiced this. But go ahead.
One party over the other has practiced it when they get to the point that they're having concierge services. When they get to the point they're issuing passport on people who would have passed away and issuing them at funerals. When they get to the point where you have persons here even work visas and a call could be made and you stop them from even going through the process. You know, we need to stop this hypocrisy around, you know. This is what gets me, have a problem. When the government of the day does something properly, I stand up and I say it. You know why? Because I'm morally obligated to commend them when they're right and hoping for them to go right. I'm tired of this flip-flopping every 5 years, you know. It doesn't do any good to our country. So somebody needs to get it right, straighten up, and fly right. You see the hypocrisy now when we get one chairman of one of water and sewage. We're not going to talk about the guilt or not guilt of it before the courts on allegations against certain things. Then we see the now chairman under this administration testifying on the stand, openly admitting this is the very same thing. And the only thing that happens to him was, oh, you know what, resign quietly and you can still be in charge, the deputy in the House of Assembly, the most honorable place in the country. We need to stop this level of hypocrisy we see going on around here. The law is for everyone, and especially for lawmakers. Yes, we're human. We're going to do things. I don't want to be victimized because I'm a lawmaker, and if I miss a run of light, I get a heavier charge. But, Dan, when you are a leader, it's incumbent you got to be a bit more cautious on every single thing.
Now, you spoke about flip-flopping, and I know time is going quickly. We got 15 minutes.
Hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Hypocrisy on the greatest level. When people, we just passed an urban renewal bill, and people are still hungry looking out for food, but yet your travel budget gone up 17%. I'm the first one to say, listen, here, government needs to move, government needs to travel. But when we see these Gussie Mae entourages and people going along for fun and et cetera, and everything else, when we see this across the board, we begin to wonder where the priority is.
If you looked at politics right now, and we got 15 minutes, I want to wrap up some things quickly. I already see we got to do a part two of this. This is a lot. And Darwin is sitting right here quiet. His mind is going. Flip-flopping for the last 20 years. Flip-flopping. From 2002 to present, we flip-flop. From the FNM, gave it to the PLP in 2002, 2007, FNM, 2012, PLP, 2017, FNM, 2021, PLP. Now, that's a trend. Right now, if we listen to media this week, the PLP is under attack. People are saying for 3 years, we are not satisfied with anything that you've tried as a people, because we have too many issues. In 1 minute, flip or flop? Are we about to flip flop? Or are we about to flip flip? Or are we going to flop flop? What do you see, Ruben Ramey? 1 minute.
I see right now it is for Michael Pentad and the FNM to win. They should not take anything for granted because we human people should not be taken for granted. I think they definitely will flop because most of the time they do what they call promotional things. They throw the minimum wage at you and then yet everything else increase around you and suck that right back in with all the fees. Everything they do have a problem with that. They drop the VAT, but then people now realize that all the concessions that the previous administration had on the VAT created an equilibrium in it for the poor. So now at the end of the day, they wouldn't even allow the exemptions on food items and insurances. We see under the urban renewal bill that they just passed in the Senate that they want to be able to give out loans for roofs and roof repair and everything else. And I reminded them in Dorian, 85% of the people in the country in Abaco did not even have house insurance. How will you expect to help people to sustain themselves so that the money from the populace could go into the necessities when you just also put 10% tax on insurances in the country all along the place. So what you did was you hoodwink and you bamboozled Bohemian people saying you're going to take 2% away and you increase everything else by 10%. And these are significant things. Of the country right now, it is reported that 74% of the businesses in this country say that the only way they can get things done is through bribes.
What? You all heard that. And I heard it this week. So for you, it's about to flip again.
It's going to flip.
Bishop Agaro?
I make an adjustment in who I voted for. And I made that adjustment because I saw something in a particular MP platform says that, you know, when you have buy a piece of property and then you go into Ministry of Works and you get the permit and everything, you could carry that. Once you get your architect draw and everything, you can go down by what do they call it? Fish fry up there, and you can get free sand. So that is so significant because. Yeah, you can get
Araki.
Yeah,
and
a particular MP. I went over his platform and I saw that, and can I call his name?
Give him credit.
He had that in his platform that if you have a building, because you
Hubert Alexander Menes,
yes,
the former prime minister.
That, and I saw that, and I said,
but we should have been getting free sign a long time.
We could have been getting free sign a long time.
All the houses in Bahamas should have been made.
And you have to ask the question, when we go there and pay for that sign, who getting that money?
That's $350 a bike.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
The ones who have the mining rights.
And they are selling that sign, and the government getting some share, I guess, out of that, I guess. However,
I don't know
the concept of that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to jump into the concept of that. But that Hubert Alexander Ingram. Hubert Alexander Menes. People underestimate him.
They underestimate him.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he is for the Bahamians, but he had some situations that going down, and I study him.
And you're talking as a man of God right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I'm as a man of God. I'm telling you, and I want to say this bold.
You ain't saying Michael C. Pindard. You ain't saying Philip Ray Davis.
If the people in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas give that same menace another chance,
lockdown menace.
I tell you, we will have, all Bahamians will have money in their pocket.
Shut up in your house, Menes.
I'm telling you.
Don't pay the landlord 6 months, Menes. That's the one you're talking about?
I'm telling
Go
you.
Go ahead, Mr. Russell.
That's just what he implemented, and I'm so glad.
No, I respect what you said. Yeah. I'm just toying with you. Go ahead, Mr. Russell.
No, man, I just keep it short. I think it's going to flip.
You think it's going to flip, too?
Yeah, I think it's going to flip.
Mm-hmm. So I got three flips in the house?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What type of burger joint is this, man? Mm-hmm. Three flips in the house. You know, I wanted to go into a little depth as to why the flip. I wanted to go into the idea of if we flip, I'll just be frankly honest with everyone. I'm out there, mm-hmm. and I'm hearing names. I see Pintard's name is getting stronger. Mm-hmm. Listen to me carefully. It's getting stronger. People are saying, you know what? We want this prime minister gone. It doesn't surprise me because, like I said, we've been flip-flopping. But what made me feel a bit at ease is the fact that I felt earlier that the Progressive Liberal Party had that opportunity to do two in a row for the longest while. They had enough time to make that preparation, ensure they got that. But right now, it's flipping as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
Michael C. Pintard is the leader of the Royal Opposition. But as that is also happening, and I got to have a show just on this now, Hubert Alexander Menes' name is popping up again. And the people out there are saying, you know what? What about Menes? Now, let me tell you what I'm thinking, Senator Ramming. And you know, you and I, Russell and Agaro, I guess what? If you're all open to it, let's do part two. Mm. But let me tell you what I'm thinking.
Go ahead.
If the people no longer want Philip Brave Davis and the PLP, and they're going to flip to the Free National Movement, right now, if the Menes crew is growing, and the Pintard group is growing, but they're not growing together. Free National Movement defeat an ailing and crippled Progressive Liberal Party. That's the question I'm going to ask, right? If that is so, and I'm going to help the Free National Movement, I'm going to make myself available for this, and I'm just going to let you men know this. I'm going to speak to Howard Grant on the Foundation, 96.9 FM. You know, we conducted a poll before. I spoke to Howard, asked him to do a poll. He did a great job. He did a poll. The people enjoyed the poll. Now I'm going to ask Howard Grant, Mr. Ruben Ramming, to do a poll on if we took Hubert Alexander Minnis, former prime minister, and Michael C. Pindar, leader of the FNM, to the voting public, which one is more acceptable and strongest. Mm-hmm. And with that information, it may cause confusion, but I also believe in my mind it should bring some clarity, because if you know you can't make the win, then the question is, what do you do?
Well, I think the poll in that regard is going to be faulty in the first instance, mm-hmm. just because it doesn't meet the necessary requirement for any of the options mm-hmm. to happen to one of the candidates. First, mm-hmm. you must realize that with most poll, it is not the results, you know, but it's the questions that are posed. And the question that posed get the answer. First of all, let's do it as you would have thought. If there was a poll that Dr. Minnis, whom I like, and I'm glad that people are now seeing some of the things.
Based on evidence.
I'm giving you the facts.
Yes, based on evidence.
I'm glad that people are seeing him differently, because despite, I think, a lot of things was overripe, hyped against him. Mm-hmm. But the reality is this, and you know it. We basically are two parties. How great the other one does, you need to be a part of any one of the two major machineries to be able to be considered a serious contender, mm-hmm. as best you call yourself a spoiler. Right now, the leader of the FNM is Michael Pindad.
Yes, but that...
No. See, this is what kills the thing.
Hold a second, Ruben. The internal conventional vote was for Michael C. Pindad. Listen to what I'm saying to you, though. On the streets, what I'm hearing is Hubert Alexander Minnis. I only want to know, based on the availability of you calling in or poll, what you may be... I'm not saying it's going to be exact. I'm not saying it's going
to
be...
I don't expect radio poll to be exact. Remember, I was a radio host too. The last poll, though,
has it now that people say, you know what, now I see the light. Because we have never
and opened I'm glad of that.
A constituency hey. Open to where the public can see inside and say, you know what? Yeah, man, this man, he ain't doing his job.
Let me show you the proof.
No one shared with us who you was.
Let me show you something.
Had we done that, it may have been different.
Let me show you something as quickly, because I know your show, you need to get juicy when you start talking.
Well, you got
to
get juicy.
Hold a full example. Biden won over Trump. All right? Time and voted for him. Trump this time in overwhelming numbers. Trump had to be in position to get that vote. Any kind of poll in that regard... First of all, it's not even fair to Minnis, because that option is not open to him in any which way, shape, and form. And secondly, the Minnis faction, to the best of my understanding and knowledge, which may be a tad bit more deeper than yourself, still remain FNM. And the party will be unified against Brave Davis and all of those, of course.
But we want to discuss that.
We can discuss it. But I'm just,
I want
I'm
to just, see how that works.
That's wonderful. We can discuss it all you want. I'm just saying that on behalf of even Dr. Minnis, coming this close to an election, that could really happen sooner than we think.
Well, I want you to know
it's
that.
It's a skewed poll using the word leadership, because there's no pathway to leadership right now. And not only that, let me add more. Even if there was a pathway to for this election, mm-hmm. who knows, during the next cycle when there's another convention, mm-hmm. that's when you have shot. Mm-hmm. Right now, there's absolutely no path for that. So it makes it, in my view, I'm not saying you can't talk about it, mm-hmm. redundant. Stacking apples against orange. Okay. Now, if you want to ask a question of personality, do you now look at their experiences and hope different? Mm-hmm. But you can't pose it in a way of competing or being the standard bearer, because that if that was to happen, we definitely will lose. Okay. And that cannot happen because the Constitution doesn't allow it. There's one leader at the stand. That's all I'm saying. But it'll be an interesting question to say how you feel about Dr. Minnis versus Pinta, but you can't throw the word leadership, or you can't throw the word going into the next election.
Of course.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. It'll be unfair to Dr.
Minnis. Your reflection.
Yeah, my perspective is that I do not discredit Michael Pindad. I does not see Michael Pindad platform as yet, and you know, the great work he has done. But I read on some things about him about ultra culture and that wasn't.
All right, Bishop.
Anyway.
All right, Brother Russell, you go ahead.
No closing comments. I agree with Ruben's sentiments. I think that this is mischievous at best.
I'm mischievous.
No, not you specifically.
I'm not talking about doing that. That job. Hey.
I'll do you a Dennis the Menace. That's why people love you, God.
Oh, Lord.
You can start it up. But I mean, you know, that's what my friend does. So he likes provocation.
But no, I don't believe that at the end of the day, we should spend too much time talking about the what ifs in that scenario. I think the Bahamian people are going to have a choice. And to Ruben's point, even if some fantastical position were to happen where there was some new leadership race within the FNM and that choice, either way, it will still be a unified FNM going into the next election because only one person can lead. So to me, I do not know that you're walking on.
Or
that,
I walk
that,
the streets.
that speak to you about those things. But every street in the Bahamas seems to have a different conversation. And the only one that matters is the one on election day. And so whoever the two choices are.
I like to cheat a little bit. I want to see inside. So
inside information.
I got to ask the people to speak to me and tell me what they're hearing and what they see. And let me come to some conclusions. Listen, man, folks, we're about to get out of here. But before I go, if you want to sponsor this program, 302-2375, give April a call. Or call Janet at 302-2309. We're done here for the day, but guess what? We want to talk with you further next week. Warmed up. I don't know how these guys feel. We have much to talk about. Thanksgiving is on its way, but not quite yet. Next week, we got to talk a bit more about this. Maybe I need to toy with this idea of Pintard or Menace. You go ahead and let me know. I'll be happy to entertain the conversation if these astute men are willing to discuss this. These are some of my best friends, by the way. These are men of renown, men of deep thought, men of sacrifice. Men who work extremely hard. I mean, Ruben calls me 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, we'll move bees. You know, I ain't moving no bee at that time in the morning. I want to move something else. But praise be to God, I am praying. I'm loving life. And Bishop Agaro, you continue to pray for the nation. Continue to do your work in Windsor Lane. Brother Russell, it's always a pleasure to have you sit with me. You know, you got my back. And Ruben, you can't leave your boy hanging. Let's discuss this. Let's get to the bottom of this. But I really do appreciate you giving us the inside perspective of what it means to be a member of parliament. It's a great responsibility, folks. It's not as easy as you think, but we need to get some of these MPs working. They need to go to Ruben Ramming School on politics in this country. What do you say? Yeah. Hey, until next week, God's may not rose power. This is Remark. You have a great one.